Settle in for another rip-roaring edition of the Rebel Room. This is Taylor Byrne alongside Ray Brewer, LasVegasSun.com. We are in the studio after a 101-78 victory against TCU at Thomas & Mack. It was the Rebels' first game at home since December 28th. That game also broke the century mark, 124-75 against Central Arkansas. Ray, this game was basically over from the tip. It got real ugly in the first half, and then UNLV came out, as they do in the second half, really settled in, got back to being an aggressive defensive team and just kind of, you know, cruised to the victory. What do you take away from it?
Well, I first of all, I have to disagree. I don't think the game was over because the fans, the fans, as UNLV inched toward the 100-point barrier, the fans were on their the edge of their seats and cheering like it was a 2-point game.
I didn't say the excitement was okay. Over. I said the outcome was
over. The outcome,
over.
Okay.
And they came out. They were up 18-2. They were hitting. I think they hit their first. They were 6-7 of 3-point right away. TCU wasn't getting anything going. UNLV obviously wanted to put that San Diego State game behind them. It was their first game at home in a while. Like I said, they were motivated. They came out firing. And then it was just a matter of what's the final score going to be.
Yeah, 12 of 14 UNLV opens shooting. Fadeaway three-pointer from Chase Stan back in the corner, like 3 seconds into the shot clock. I'm like, wow, what's up with what? Oh, and he made it. So I'm like, okay. But just a great performance for UNLV. I think we differ just based on our conversation leading in here. I kind of thought that they might have a little bit of a hangover from the San Diego State game, and it might take them a little while to get going. But the 18-2 run to open, I kind of expected toward the end of the first half. But they just got it right out of the way, game, set, match. Give TCU credit. They stayed in it. They cut the deficit, I believe, to 12 there late in the first half, 12 or 13.
It was something like that. I remember it being at 15. I wasn't sure if it got closer than that, but it very well may have. They did. They stayed aggressive. They, you know, scratched, clawed, tried to get anything. But even when UNLV was having that lapse, especially I think about the last 10 minutes of the first half, it never really got close. It was never really in doubt. It was just a matter of, you know, kind of keeping up the intensity to Coach Dave Rice's liking. He was really pissed most of the time, especially in the first half, and even, you know, a bit in the early second half. I don't think I saw him smile until there were about 10 minutes left. And that's, you know, he's got high expectations for his team, especially a game where they were clearly the better team and knew it going in. And so it was about, you know, putting the San Diego State game behind them and just kind of working on what they're going to need to do to win close games going forward, trying to, you know, finish off opponents, things like that.
Yeah, against San Diego State, I think it was one of the lone times this year where UNLV got taken out of its offensive game plan. There was a lot of individual one-on-one play. They only finished with 9 assists. And, you know, during that big run tonight, they had, I think, 8 assists.
Mm-hmm.
And it just shows that, you know, when you revert back to that old style of, you know, maybe relying on one guy to penetrate and dish the ball out for 3 or – you know, just the individual play, it's not going to work. And I think that it was just awesome the way they performed tonight. And a great way to kind of put the San Diego State game to rest. I will say that San Diego State, big win against New Mexico tonight.
I don't know how closely you guys were keeping track of that. For those who don't know, Ray and I do not sit next to each other holding hands while watching the game.
I'd like to, though. But no.
I am on press row. He is behind the basket. But the fellow reporters and I were keeping track, and just an 11-point dogs winning. Was the final score, did they win by 10, or was it?
I don't know what the final was, but I know they were up double digits with like two to go.
Just crazy win for San Diego State. Yeah, and very impressive.
And that game opened at 8, and it got bet all the way up to 11?
Yeah.
And then they won by 11.
Nuts.
And now, you know, I always thought that the league, the way you navigate the league to win it is you take care of business on your home court, which I think UNLV is going to run the table. Possibly. Either way.
Yeah.
And then you got
early in it.
Yeah.
One game.
Yeah, one game. And then you got to pick your spots on the road. But I think San Diego State at 2-0 and two great-looking performances, I think UNLV's playing for the 2.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things we talked about in post-game. And this game Saturday now, UNLV is hosting New Mexico, 7:15 at the MAC. The loser, as long as San Diego State doesn't trip up, is going to be 2 games behind first place, 3 games into the conference season. That's crazy, and especially when you look at this is only a 14-game slate for these teams this year. I mean, the team that loses it, I think, is definitely playing for the 2. It's just too much ground to make up. a lot of crazy things could happen. We may be getting ahead of ourselves a little bit.
It's tough to play in Boise.
It's
I say that jokingly,
but
I think that the league's eight teams combined for like seven maybe home losses in non-league play, all high win percentages. You got to factor in the altitude. You'll see that when you get when you get into the Colorado mountains. And while San Diego State's 2-0 with wins over
the two best teams, competitors and one of them at the Pit.
Yeah.
How many teams are going to win there this year? You know, that's a huge win for them.
So UNLV definitely playing catch up here, still early in the conference season. Anthony Marshall again.
Career high, 27.
He it continues to impress, not only scoring not just the nine assists, but I love every time he gets a block. That left-handed stuff, damn.
Because he can get up, he can hang out in the post and like size up blocks the way forwards can because he has that jumping ability. So it's really it's interesting to see that because you see him maybe kind of lower than you know the guy that's coming up, and all of a sudden he just springs up and it really surprises the opponents. Like they do not think that they're about to get their shot blocked by a guard.
Exactly, and Quintrell had a few good blocks.
Second Masamba, maybe the block of the year.
Yeah, everything. This team does nine blocks, by the way, tonight.
That's a rarity for them.
That's a rarity, and either TCU is awful on the inside, or UNLV is getting a lot better on the inside.
I think there's a little bit of both. I don't know how, if you want to judge how much better they played. You know, Carlos Lopez foul trouble, subpar night, but you know, Quintro was good. Bryce was good for the most part. They did have some solid interior play, and TCU. Didn't have a whole lot of an answer. Adric McKinley, his shot was probably my favorite tonight. And then he had the two air ball free throws.
What about speaking of three free throws? Your boy, what happened?
Oh, I don't know.
0 for 6.
0 for 6.
I can make one of six. At
well,
least.
You say that.
No, I can. trust me, I will make one.
Sitting at the table. No, I can do it. Go out there in a game and just. Go make a free throw. I have no
in
doubt
a game,
that you
I'm not,
could.
Where am I going to find a game?
I'm just saying it's a different scenario than going down to your local gym. But yeah, really surprising there. He made a couple of mistakes defensively too. Just didn't seem to be in his game. Still shot 3 of 5 overall. But when everybody else is playing that well and you're winning by 23, 24, it's hard to nitpick the kid.
Yeah, hard to nitpick. Continuing my nitpick hour here. Earlier, we had argued.
It's hard to, but Ray finds it easy.
Yes. No. Earlier in the year, when Reggie Smith became eligible, we were like, it's great. He's going to be able to help Anthony
X-Factor.
And Oscar with minutes. I was like, oh, no. Oscar's got to play 83 minutes a game. He's got to be the man. And he's been pretty bad the last few games. And I think he might be tired. I was totally wrong. 2 of 5 tonight, 24 minutes, 6 points, 6 assists, coming on the heels of a 1 of 12 against San Diego State. And I'm telling you, no matter what happens, this kid needs to get right down the stretch because he's got the experience. And I'm sold on him as being one of their key players.
I completely agree, but he doesn't have to be effective. He doesn't have to shoot the ball well, you know. No more than 5 shots are needed from him in a particular game. With the way you've got Marshall playing right now, you still got Moser, Standback. Hawkins usually gives you 8 to 10 off the bench. Lopez can. If he can just be that facilitator and keep his energy up that way, he doesn't – I mean, 12 shots was way too much in that San Diego State game. A lot of those just, you know, ended up looking like desperation. Tonight, 2 of 5, that's just fine. You know, 4 3-pointers, yeah, maybe a little much. But you're right. He needs to have good legs under him because Reggie Smith in a game like this only playing 8 minutes and you know 3 of those were at the tail end of the game. He only had five minutes logged for the bulk of the game. Just this is the type of situation where I really thought that they would throw him out there more, trial by fire, I guess. And you know maybe that's what they've done. And Rice just hasn't liked what he's seen. He gets on him when he comes back to the bench a lot, and you know just maybe. It's taken him a while.
He did have the most important basket of the game, though.
101.
101. Reggie Smith to the hole. Mike Moser, by the way, 16 and 15.
Ninth double-double. He does it so easily. And it, all of it, all of his rebounds seem effortless. They're not. He's getting in great position, and he's got those long arms. He can go up and get it, but it just, you know, he falls out of bed with 12 rebounds, it seems.
And here's what I can't figure out. How does UCLA not have a spot for this kid?
Stand back, I mean, too. And you, yeah, keep, I, you keep going back. And that was one of the things, even before before I came to Las Vegas, I was seeing people tweet about that. Because mm-hmm. that was especially, that was right around the time where Reeves Nelson was, is he staying? Is he actually playing or all this? UCLA, they would kill to get Moser back right
what
now.
What if they, but just look at the three players they've lost. Gordon from New Mexico,
mm-hmm.
Moser and Stanback.
Yeah.
Oh, and the kid from BYU.
Oh, boy.
not bad of a little team
UCLA,
there, right?
UCLA is now like the Pittsburgh Pirates
of
college basketball.
Whoa, that's a little low.
When you look at the starting lineup that they could have had
with all of the guys
that they shelled out and saw go away.
All right, moving forward, Taylor Byrne, UNLV, no time to rest. Big game Saturday.
Tomorrow, opening up Mendenhall.
All
the players will be there for that. And, you know, this is something that they're definitely looking forward to, having basically a one-stop basketball shop. They don't have to leave for anything but class, basically. They've got everything they need housed in one place. It's connected to Thomas & Mack and Cox Pavilion. It's going to be great for them. And I'm excited to be able to get in there and just kind of see the new digs.
Yeah, I wanted to ask if they're going to have, like, a reporter room. You know, like at the at City Hall, they always have a little room for reporters.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's pretty commonplace for most, you know, governments to have a room. Like, they have one at the county building, and we have a reporter at the county building. Like, they should have just like a reporter room, and instead of coming to work, we would just send you to the Mendenhall.
I like it. I vote for this.
Yes.
I'm going to just go find a closet and declare that my reporter room. Mm-hmm.
But in all seriousness, the facility is a program changer. It's got all the bells and whistles.
Why do we have to get all serious?
I'm just trying to, people know. I'm not breaking anything down. Everybody who's listening to this understands that when they open those doors tomorrow, that UNLV now is on par with.
That's their biggest recruiter.
Oh, amen. At $12 million, all the bells and whistles. The kids are going to have key access. You want to shoot
at 3 a.m? Here you
Sign
go.
Sign me up.
There you go.
You're ready.
Justin Hawkins wants to work on his free throws. There you go.
Perfect.
He's got
He'd
the
be
place.
There right now. I guarantee you.
Mm-hmm.
So, tomorrow, big day for UNLV hoops. Also Saturday, big day. They host New Mexico. We talked about it earlier, kind of like an elimination game here in the second.
A little bit.
Kind of a must win of sorts. And, I just don't see them losing at home. I mean, the crowd gets into like every dribble. This crowd is very engaged this year.
I really want to see some highlights from the New Mexico San Diego State game. Look at that box score. Try and figure out exactly what happened to New Mexico before I try and, you know, speculate on Saturday too much. But both of those teams are just going to be hungry for a win. And New Mexico, UNLV, they both know how badly they need it. It was already going to be a hyped game in a great environment, probably even more so now.
Exactly. And there's only 1,800 tickets left for that game.
All right. Get them quick.
It's going to be a parking disaster.
Oh, boy.
As I'm familiar with. I've mixed up my parking, I'll tell you later. I got a new quick route out of the arena. But for Taylor Byrne, I'm Ray Brewer. Thanks for listening to Rebel Room. We'll talk to you Saturday night.